All right, so come on, work with me here. There we go. All right, how you doing? Burp. Water.
Burp. Water.
Water. You're burp. Oh, you're watery. I'm burpy tonight.
I have something for you to try.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
We had a little bit of these spices that we got from Kansas City and uh-huh. From Eric in the was Eric right who sent these?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have a different spice. I have a Middle Eastern spice.
Okay.
That I brought. I told you about it before, but I didn't bring it, but I did bring it this time. It's you might pronounce it sumac. I believe it's pronounced in the Middle East it's pronounced sumach. But it is probably the quintessential kebab spice.
Okay.
So here. Let me grab some of it.
No kebabs? What the fuck, man?
No kebabs.
So, how'd you get ill? You were ill the last 2 days.
I don't know. It was more of a head cold than anything else. Just, didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's this red spice. It has a kind of lemony and peppery kind of flavor to it, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the redness that's making me think there's a touch of paprika in there, but there's a... It reminds me of things I do have in my spice closet, but not exactly, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of like ground coriander, but not really. It's kind of like... Yeah, not really cumin, but I don't know. It's interesting. It's bright red.
Yeah, it's a red spice, and this is, I mean, this goes great with chicken. Mm-hmm. It is a great chicken spice. I like that it has this sort of tartness. It's kind of, mm-hmm. you know, lemon is the closest, but it's not really lemon. It's more just something different, but it's
mm-hmm.
what it tastes. But yeah, it's a good spice, and not the cheapest spice, but not the most expensive either. I mean, this is
no, you got a good
I have a good supplier for this. This is a Middle Eastern market is right near my house. Okay. Has it, so
here's that Middle Eastern market right down from where we had lunch on Friday, Labad's, and I've had their falafel. Mm-hmm. I wanted their one day and they ran out of. It was either baba ganoush or it was... No, it wasn't that. It was...
Baba ganoush you should make your own.
Yeah, no, it was a shawarma or something like that. I forget, but they were out, so I just had the gyro. It was still a good gyro, but I wanted... You know what I wanted was I wanted that... the falafel that we had in New York. Well, oh my God, that's so good.
Well, I mean, that's sort of like you can get pizza around here, but you can't get New York pizza.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can get falafel around here, but you can't get New York falafel. There's this thing about a big city that has a lot of competition, but also has, I don't know, a huge immigrant population. Mm-hmm. Somehow they manage to perfect these things to make them just exactly what you want and exactly perfect. So
yeah. Huh. I'm just thinking about that night out with all the food and the corn dogs and the pizza.
God, that was just amazing.
Oh, the best street food ever.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so I guess it's Amazon Anonymous time.
I believe it is.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Now, I already know what I want to pick. Well, actually, I have two.
Do it. Do two. Go crazy.
Someone here is a Feynman fan, and right after my own heart, because I'm a Feynman fan myself. And so somebody purchased two of Feynman's books. One of them is What Do You Care What Other People Think? And the other one is Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. These are very, very good books that Richard Feynman wrote. Richard Feynman is one of my heroes. One of the fathers of quantum electrodynamics. He created Feynman diagrams, which are still in use today. He was a very curious character, really interesting and inquisitive mind, and someone who is also a fantastic teacher. If you ever have a chance to look at some of his videos on YouTube, we get an idea of just, you know, how he even teaches basic science concepts with a great and it's a really fantastic way of teaching. And his the Feynman lectures on physics are still considered the gold standard, or at least still the silver standard for teaching concepts, although you really should have a basic understanding of some of the physical concepts before you listen to them. Because, you know, when he gets into things like the stuff in quantum stuff, one, he's a little wrong. He's out of date on some of the stuff. And the other is that there are better ways to teach some of the basics now, but listening to him gives you a cool sort of perspective on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my number one. What's yours?
My number one, I find, so you're going the serious route, so I'll go the humorous route this time. I'm going to have to go with the Coochie Cream. The new Coochie Body Rash-Free Shave Cream, 16-ounce plush. $15.30 for free shipping on orders over $35. And this is Coochie Rash-Free Shave Cream. Make Me Blush is a breath of petal softness combined sweet pea and blue violet as a blush of powdery white cedar. Soft and sweet, but not too sweet. Part one of the Coochie Shave System. Female.
I like that there's a whole system.
Yes. And let's go on to the reviews here. Mixed reviews.
So it's female intimate shave cream for you. So this is. So when they say coochie, they mean it. This is for your cooch.
Yes. 5 stars. I will forever be buying this product. This is my second bottle. I didn't realize it was twice the size of my first one. That's what she said. For the same price, and I couldn't be happier. The stuff is awesome for your bikini area. I like the original scent better, but this one is also really nice. And let's see, a bad review. Makes my skin silky, and I do not have to shave every day. Love the scent. You can also use it for your hair, and my husband uses it to shave his face as well.
That was a 2-star review. 2-star. 2 out of 5 stars review. That sounded like a 5-star review.
Yes.
Weird.
And his husband uses Coochie shave cream to shave his face.
Oh, I love the Coochie on my face.
Smells like there a stripper. Smell like a stripper all day. All right, go ahead.
All right, and my other pick is another book, which I haven't read, but I heard was actually good. And if nothing else, I want to.
What's that? Michael Vey 3, Battle of the Empire?
Yeah. Well, someone is picking science books up.
Yeah.
And
actually, when I saw Michael Vey, I was thinking Michael Bay. I thought I was gonna say Transformers, yeah. Right? And then I'm like Ampere. I'm like, wait a second, my joke just fell flat. It's a science book. Never mind. Sorry.
So this is The Joy of X, a guided tour of math from 1 to infinity. I haven't read this book, but I imagine it's a good book. The more and more I get into math, and I kind of alluded to this in last week's post show, where the more you get into this kind of stuff, the more your world kind of falls apart and then gets rebuilt with a whole bunch of different things you didn't expect to see. The math is more than just algebra and, you know, and addition and subtraction and the basic ideas, and really it's more than just numbers. It's about a model that we throw on the world and try to interpret the world with it. There's so much amazing things that come out of math that it's hard for me to put into words how important math is, how fundamentally world-changing math mm-hmm. is to your mind mm-hmm. when you get a good conception of it.
Right.
So I would highly recommend people look into this, and books like this are, I haven't read this book, but I imagine are a great way to really get in depth in this kind of thing. And I would hope that whoever is reading these books is going to well surpass me in their understanding of this kind of stuff, because I approach this from a very hobbyist perspective, mm-hmm. less hobbyist than I am with beer, and you know, I think I have a decent understanding of beer. I pretend to have a decent understanding of math. I don't. I am.
You're an expert on the internet.
I am a constant. I'm constantly looking into and trying to. I'm ignoring you. I'm constantly looking into and trying to increase my math understanding, because it's a beautiful way of interpreting the world, and there's such wonderful depth to it. There's more depth to it than probably any other subject I can think of.
So the book gets pretty good reviews. 95 five-star reviews, 38 four-star reviews, and 4 two-star reviews. Here's my favorite review, and that is... Now, this is a math book, a number book, right?
Well, it's a math book, not a number. Right. Well, math is not numbers.
Okay, it's a math book. Too flippant. All sorts of progressive political overtones thrown in. I wanted an objective, intelligent treatment. I'm tired of being beat over the head with liberal guilt trips.
Okay. Again, I have not read the book, but I would not be surprised if it's a fantastic book.
With liberal guilt trips.
With
as a bonus.
Full of liberal guilt trips. Well, there's nothing our show is for if not liberal guilt trips, right? I mean,
that was from Charles W. Monagale.
A guy named Charles W. Monagale.
Yes.
So temper your expectations.
All right, so my other interesting item here is... where'd it go? Oh, shit, went back too far.
Don't try too hard.
I drive like a Cullen. Twilight vinyl decal sticker white. $3.20. I drive like a Cullen. Apparently this has something to do with Twilight. The description...
Cullen is a name, is the name of the vampire family that Edward is part of.
Okay.
I only know this because I've watched the Twilight movies on Riff Tracks.
Okay.
So
this thing gets outstanding reviews. It has 17 five-star reviews, 4 four-star reviews, and nothing else going on. Mm. I saw this sticker and had to have it because I'm a huge Twilight fan. As soon as it came out, I put it on my back window. I love seeing people reading it in my rearview mirror, and I'm always getting compliments on it. Definitely cute for any try-hard.
I don't know what drive like a Cullen means.
I saw this on a girl's SUV and literally pulled up next to her to ask where she got it. I love it. I just ordered my own. The reviews seem great so far. I can't wait to get it in the mail. Smiley.
But if people are enjoying it, good for them.
I just think this is the funniest sticker, and I want it on my car. I usually don't put stickers on my car, but this one is perfect.
Why do vampires have to drive? Can't they just... I mean, they run really fast in the movies. Do they drive?
You know, you gotta fit in. Gotta fit in. All right, I'm done reading reviews about it. I drive like a Cullen.
All right, well, that's that sounds anonymous for this week. Thank you very much. Thank you for, you know, assisting us and helping us out and yeah, so all the other stuff.
Greg did 2 science and math books, and I did Coochie Shave Cream and a bunch of twihards raving about their Cullen sticker.
We'll have to switch it up next week, and I'll do the joke ones and you do the interesting ones.
I could have done the RV tire covers, but, you know. If you own an RV, you spend a lot of crap money on your RV, might as well buy it through Amazon through us. That's what I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. RVs aren't cheap.
Just in case you wanted to know, that's what Jeff's saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, we talked about a lot of the stuff in the pre-show I want to talk about. I forgot about the smock in the pre-show, so I'm glad I got it to set. We got Amazon Anonymous done. I know it's a work night, so I don't want to get too involved. So if there's anything else you have...
Toronto's mayor is a nut.
Yeah, that's kind of over-covered, okay. Right?
Yeah, I guess. I did watch the Daily Show you told me about on Friday.
Mm-hmm. What did you think?
8 second pause. You know, the Daily Show with the Toronto guy. What's his name? You know, and it's like playing, pause for suspense, like on a game show. And man, it's overcovered. It's a nut. I don't know. For me, it isn't necessarily overcovered because most of the news that I've been getting, the last couple of weeks has been on NPR, and NPR is not barely covering that. They're treating it with the coverage level that it should have, not the sensationalist that all the news cable news networks spend on it, right? And then also the coverage that the Daily Show has to spend on it because the cable news networks are spending on it,
Right.
So NPR is mostly ignoring. I heard one little story about it, all the facts. The city council is impotent to do anything about it, really.
Well, they've cut off his ability to
fire the lieutenant
and hire so to hire and fire people on his staff. So that's kind of the limit of what they can do. They don't have the ability to remove him from office. They don't have like recalls and stuff like that, or I don't know what Toronto politics is like. I don't know what Canadian politics is like. I'm a sheltered American, stuck in my American world, and so I don't understand these other cities and the way they work. And that's reasonable for me because I normally deal with American politics, so that's essentially... And outside politics has less effect on me than other places would have. Like, other places know about American politics because American politics has effects on them. Canadian politics does not have much effect on me. So that's why I'm not really very well versed in it. And why most Americans aren't really well versed in the politics of other places, whereas other places are well versed in the politics of America.
Leonid shower peaks tonight.
What?
Leonid meteor shower peaks tonight.
Yeah, but it's a full moon.
Okay. Lame. Mount Etna is erupting? I didn't know that.
Good for Etna.
It's Europe's most active volcano.
So that it's erupting is not really that big of a surprise. What is
it? Happens sooner or later. World's oldest creature was 507, but scientists killed it. Nice.
I know
that there's did you say it was the world's oldest creature? I'm not sure you said that.
I don't say, well, world's oldest creature is...
Oldest known creature?
Yeah, I mean, it's... But it was killed in 2006, first of all, and world's oldest creature, do trees count as creatures? Do fungus count as creatures?
Yeah. I think you gotta be creepy crawly.
So world's oldest fauna.
Yeah.
That is known about. Because who knows?
Not too much exciting science news on here. It says, Ison's visible to the naked eye, like you said.
Not quite naked eye yet. I think it's binoculars,
says.
But...
This one says naked eye. Skywalk.
I think it's naked eye in a really dark place.
Okay.
Like, it wouldn't be naked eye here.
It's now 10 times brighter than it was on November 13th and 14th.
Yeah, it's increased in magnitude.
May appear as a pale green smudge.
There's some cool pictures that people have gotten of it.
East horizon just before the sun rises. Interesting. Might have to find myself up early. The nice thing is that it's sun doesn't rise too early these days, so.
True. True. Yeah, if Mercury is out, it should be out.
I've never seen Mercury.
Really?
Never seen. I mean, I know the whole mechanics. I know it either follows the sun or leads the sun just barely.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it. I've looked for it.
I've seen it because I've been up. Usually I've seen it when I've been up very late. I have seen it, though.
Before. I was always wondering,
I mean, it's a dot in the sky. It's not exactly.
Sure. But, you know, how it's low on the horizon, but how low? Like, around here, if you got, you know, trees down the street, is it too low? You know?
Yeah.
So I've never.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah. So I've never seen. Venus is hell of a bright right now.
It's very bright.
If you. So we've talked about this before, but there's three celestial objects that cast a shadow on Earth, right? You know, you can actually see your own shadow, and Venus is one of them.
Yeah.
It'd be very cool. That's one thing I'd like to do someday is see my Venus shadow, but it's got to be very,
that
very
would,
dark.
It has to be very dark, and the moon can't be out.
Yeah, the moon can't be out. Very dark. Yeah, no, not much light pollution. You know, you probably have to go to one of those dark sky sites before you can see your Venus shadow.
That would be rough. But even in a place where your skies are saturated with light, Venus is still going to be very bright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the scary UFO-looking thing in the sky to your west at sunset.
Yeah, and it's you're looking at it like, that's a bright thing. What the heck is that?
It looks like it flickers. It looks like an airplane headlight is what it looks like now. It's so bright. Nope, Venus.
Venus, just the closest planet to us.
All right. Yeah, let's wrap this up. We're kind of babbling about stuff we've talked about 100 times. So, see you all next time.
Keep real, everybody.